When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We're back. Second half of the show is live. A lot of things happening in the portal. Coaching changes. The Auburn OC shown the door. Today, there are other openings, a lot happening out there. Let's get to the calls. And Brad is in Macon, Georgia. Hey, Brad.
Mr. Paul.
Yes, sir.
It's better to be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
I've heard that somewhere before.
Every time I listen to I-Man, you know, I think he's probably sniffing more Freon than he's actually putting in those systems there.
I knew there was a Freon shortage in Alabama lately, and that's probably the reason.
I definitely think that's exactly the reason. But, hey, Quinshon Judkins hit the portal. Man, how good would he look in a crimson uniform, Paul?
They didn't want him the first time around, but they could use him now.
I guarantee you, to me, he's one of the best backs in the SEC, real physical kind of guy.
Absolutely.
And he did right up with Nick Saban. I don't think Alabama so far, I hadn't seen they had Robinson.
I thought it was interesting back. That Roydell Williams went in the portal today, and the word is that they probably didn't try to stop him. And I don't know if that's Judkins related or they feel comfortable where they are. They've got a couple of good running backs, but nobody would turn down him.
No. So I saw where you picked Michigan over Washington. Is any particular reason why you did that?
Brad, in full candor, not a single one. I really don't.
I got you.
I understand the logic behind Washington. I do. But there's something about them I just don't trust.
I got you. Well, Paul, enjoy your weekend, brother.
Thank you. I'm certainly looking forward to being home. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let's check out David up next. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a poll question for you and the callers. With all of the coaching changes and all the firings and all that stuff that's going on now and has in the last couple of years, in the last 20 years, what are the three best hires for a football coach in college, whether they're still there or not? I'll hang up. Listen. Thanks, Paul.
Okay. The last 20 years, I would say, starting with Saban, Urban Meyer at Florida State, or Florida. Take your pick. I mean, Urban Meyer was that good at Florida and Ohio State. He won three national championships. Combined, what would be the third one? I would say Dabo Sweeney. It was a long shot for him to be successful, but he played for, what, five national championships, won two, and I may be off on that, but maybe played for four, but he did a phenomenal job resurrecting Clemson. So those would, without even thinking about it, I'm sure I'm leaving some out, but it's a good question, by the way. It's a really interesting question. After that, the obvious answer is Coach Prime, isn't it? I mean, he did go 4-8 this year after a 1-11 season. Kirby would be next. I mean, that would I would put Kirby right around this. I mean, Kirby's got the most upside. Brian Kelly did a great job at Notre Dame. Jimbo Fisher, you said? Oh, okay. No. Okay. It would be easier to come up with the worst hires But those are four or five of what I would say have been the best hires in the last 20 years in college football.
Yeah.
Very interesting question. Vance is up next in Georgia.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there, Vance.
I must say, in my opinion, which that probably means nothing to many people, that you have been in a very, what I consider, enjoyable mood this entire week.
I'll tell you what, Vance, we actually could not hear you, so we're going to try to get you back. I think I liked where you were going, but I felt like I was talking to Bill Curry again. Remember that interview?
Yeah.
We had Bill Curry on a couple weeks ago, and he was speaking English, and I could only make out about every third. It sounded like he was in the basement of a house with no cell service. We'll try to get Vance back. How about Dan in Huntsville, Alabama? Hello, Dan.
Hey, Paul, I'm one of the, probably the only Husky fan in Alabama, I think. I haven't met anybody yet, so, but winners win, and Kalen DeBoer is a winner. You left him off the list. I mean, it's amazing what he's done at Washington. I want to.
By the way, I left him off the list, but the list I mentioned had a total of 7, 10, 11, 13 national championships between the groups.
Yeah. He's going to get
Kalen won about that many in a different division, but he hasn't done it at Washington yet.
Yeah, his record's incredible, and he's a winner. That's why he's going to win. I wanted your opinion on the game, and I wanted your opinion on have you seen a quarterback like Penix just dominate a game like he's done and just take over a college football team in a season?
Well, he's great, and there are a couple of reasons why he's great. Individual talent. He's got two incredible wide receivers. He's got the best offensive line.
Three,
I'm sorry. I'm not that proficient on the UW roster. But it is a phenomenal team. The thing that I'm concerned about is a little bit on the defensive side, and I think that's really where the game could be won.
Yeah, they're opportunistic, but I think, you know, they have the intangibles to win it, and do you think we're going to be able to keep him as a coach if he keeps winning, or do you think one of these SEC teams is going to come calling?
I think it's always I don't know him. I know guys like that or like probably where he is, but he's going to get that mega offer, and I think it's just a matter of how he handles it.
And can you get an interview with him?
I certainly think we can, yes. We'll see if we can work on that as soon as he gets through playing for the national championship.
Okay, that'd be
great.
Yeah,
no, I am. Yeah, I was talking to Lance Leipold the other day, who I think will be in the SEC eventually, and he was talking about how they got to become friends when they were both coaching at FCS, and he said they would go to the coaching convention and nobody really talked to them because nobody knew who they were. Hey, thank you for the call. But I'm a big fan of Kalen. I mean, there's no way you can't be. And it doesn't matter to me whether he wins or loses Monday night. He is going to be considered a hot coach. You know, the coaches in that part of the country, Oregon has had two or three coaches in a row bail out of there to head south. And you know, Washington's a little bit different. That's a place people tend to stay. You had Don James there for 25 years. Peterson was there for an extended period. It's a great fan base. The community is phenomenal. Been to one game there, so I'm not an expert. But the experience I had out there about 10 years ago, I was there for the Oregon-Washington game, and it was. We did the game day show. It started at 6 a.m. in the morning. And there were 20,000 people there. And I'm not sure there was a single person there who wasn't high. It was an amazing morning. You just took a breath and you were like, where can I find some where can I find some munchies? It was one of the best mornings I've ever spent. We'll be right back. More to come after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction?
Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back Friday afternoon. Last Friday of the college football season, or it felt like actually last Friday was the last Friday of the college football season. Garrett is in Boston. Hey, Garrett.
Paul Feinbaum, thank you. Know, I've been listening to your show for a long time, and I only restarted calling in the last month, mostly just because Michigan and the SEC didn't have a ton of interaction, and there wasn't a lot to talk about with Michigan up until about the last 3 years. It was. Harbaugh was took a long time for him to turn this around, but I just never mentioned this, but I just really wanted to thank you for just having this program and being available nationally. It's not a big thing up in New England and Boston, so to have sort of this, there's podcasts, right? But to have sort of this interactive radio, format is really, it's great. It's just something, there's not a lot of people to talk about college football with up this part of the country.
No, so I understand that. I've been to Boston, it's the usual suspects up there: the Red Sox, the Patriots, Bruins.
Yeah,
I get it.
It's a pro sports town, and I've just grown up with Michigan football. A ton of people. My family went there. There's a picture of Bo Schembechler holding me as a baby. So I think,
oh my goodness.
It's just something. There's a lot. It's deep in my blood, and it just, I don't know if a lot of your fan base understands how big a deal this Rose Bowl was to Michigan, and particularly I think beating Alabama really elevated the meaning and the importance of this game. Just sort of given the challenges the program is facing, particularly with the...
Garrett, 10 years ago I was out there for the national championship game, and I was there for 9 days. So I went to the Rose Bowl, and I don't even remember who was in there. It was like Michigan State and somebody. I could not believe how important, when Michigan State won the game, I couldn't believe how important it was to the Big Ten people. I mean, I was there for the national championship, and they treated that like the national championship. And I think that's exactly what happened Monday, not only winning the Rose Bowl, but beating Alabama, I think, gave it some added cachet.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that way in a lot of ways. Like, I haven't felt like this about a team in sports winning a championship since the 2004 World Series. Like, it really, I can't express in words like how much that went. And it wasn't even winning the national championship. It was winning the Rose Bowl. But I think there is – I know the Rose Bowl is not as it's not as well regarded in the South, but and I understand that. But it's the place is, it's like the Masters of college football, in my opinion. There's something special about that place.
It is.
There's something special. And I think, you know, I do think beating Alabama in the Rose Bowl, you know, the preeminent, you know, and I'm sorry, I-Man, I got to say this, the preeminent.
Oh, no, there's no question. I mean, I've been around a lot of teams that have, not that many teams, but a few teams that have beaten Alabama. It counts quadruple.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was almost like a sense of relief, because there was a real point in that game where it was like, oh, my God, here we go again. This is death by a million paper cuts. And then just the stop at the end, it was a sense of joy, a sense of relief. And again, I do think because it was the Rose Bowl, there's a special element to it. You sure, winning the Orange, the Sugar, whatever, those are important. But there's something different about the Rose Bowl. There really is.
Very, very great to talk to you, Garrett. Call again. We enjoyed it. We don't get too many Boston callers. We get talked about in Boston a lot, but not from the callers. Nick is calling next. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, yeah, so a few things that I kind of wanted, one of them being a question, but, you know, I don't know if Michigan's really going to have a good chance in the national championship, just because I think that the level that they played at versus Alabama wasn't good at all, really, because you look at Alabama, and in my opinion, is the worst team that Nick Saban has coached in his 17-year tenure at Alabama. You know, I don't feel like that fundamentally, anyways, that they even compared to the past 17 years, any team in that 17 years, right? And so if that, and especially that night, they played just like they did against Texas, which was, you know, arguably one of the worst games of the season. You know, if Michigan struggled like that, you know, against that team, if they play like that against Washington, I don't think they have a chance of winning. And two, what is your thoughts on what Alabama, what does it look like that Alabama has to do going forward to be the team that they used to be, right? Some of the better teams in Nick Saban's era. I know we're losing McKinstry, Arnold, Broswell. The transfer portal didn't really have any good, from what it looked like, didn't have any good players coming to Alabama. So what is it, in your opinion, Alabama has to do to get back to being the high-caliber Alabama team that we are used to seeing?
Thank you. I'm a little concerned about the losses. You're losing Terrion Arnold and McKinstry. I mean, you still have Caleb Downs. You still have a couple other players. But I know the biggest emphasis it was going to be the offensive line and obviously now center. These are hard things to fill correctly. I think they're really upbeat on Sayon, the quarterback who's coming in. So they have Milroe for another year, and we'll try to transition to him. But it's a little bit early to tell. I expect some changes on the coaching staff. That is natural. It happens all the time. There is another window in the portal, but I think we found out that is not a great window. The post-spring, that was the window we got Buckner. We saw Buckner go from Notre Dame last year, and it was a wash. Thank you very much for the call. And Annie is up next in Illinois. Ann, good afternoon.
Yes, Mr. Feinbaum. And I just wanted to call and tell you I listen to you every day. I'm 95 years old, and I look forward to every afternoon when you're on. And I want to tell you one thing. I am a Southerner. I was born, all my family have been in Georgia since about the end of the 1700s.
Oh, man.
And I have been an Alabama fan all my life. And when we moved to Illinois, it was great to be able to say, I'm from Alabama. And when we came here, although Alabama had a very fine football team, it was nothing like the coach that has been there and is in there now. Maybe it was a bad time and it made people mad. But when I hear people on the air make, I'm sorry, idiotic statements about the COHR or what is going on, I think back to 2 and 3 and 4 years ago when there was nothing he could do wrong. Everybody thought this was the greatest coach they'd ever had at Alabama, and I'm one of those. I think he is a remarkable gentleman. But what I really called about is, Mr. Feinbaum, I want to thank you for being a true gentleman on the air. You are kind, you are giving, and I have learned so much from listening to you talk to people in your very moderate, very nice, nice way. And I just wanted to call and wish you a happy year this coming year, and that everything will go well for you, and I want everything to go well for the coach at Alabama, and I want Alabama to be back where it was. But in life, there are some times when we don't do as well as other times when we're on the top. That's true of everybody. Just please look after yourself and know that there are just so many, many people out there that listen to you, and know that what you are saying is the truth. Thank you for sharing that with all of us. And I appreciate so much your taking my call, because it has really lifted me up this afternoon. Thank you so much.
And thank you. You be well, and a wonderful healthy new
year to you. You just keep teaching me football, if you'll do that.
I thank you, and I can't tell you what a pleasure it has been to hear from you. You be well. Thank you so much.
I will. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. What a wonderful call. Susie is up next.
Happy New Year, Paul.
Happy New Year.
I am honored to come after Ann. What a lovely, lovely call. Ann, that made my afternoon of watching your show. Thank you, Ann. And 95? She said she was 95?
Indeed. She sounded great.
No, she did sound great. I wanted to find out what kind of procedure did Larry have this week. I've been watching off and on because I was out of town and that, but was he in the hospital this week?
He was. I believe he was he was having some pulmonary issues, so... that could be a couple of things.
Well,
I'm not sure specifically. I have a vague idea what could have been happening, but we have not heard from him since he went in.
Oh, okay, because I was going to ask you if you had heard, because I hadn't seen it. Do you think, I was watching yesterday, Joe and I went and walked a 5K, and we stopped at a Mexican restaurant. We always like to eat at the bar, and they always have sports on one of the TVs. Well, one of the TVs had your show on. I was so excited.
Oh, wow.
Because I had not seen that sitting at a bar. So we were watching, but of course it had to be closed captioned. That's a real treat, Paul, to watch your show in closed
captions. I don't know how, I don't know the closed caption people, but Randy and I talk about this a lot when we're walking by during a break. How are they able to understand some of these people?
I don't know, because it's like Jim came on. I thought, oh my God, listening to Jim or reading the text of Jim talking and hearing actually when Jim from Tuscaloosa calls, what a difference. You know, you certainly can't get the ambiance, you know, of some of these callers and the excitement and all that. It was really different. I choose not to watch closed caption, but it was kind of cool that this bar had you on. So I wanted to let you know about that. One quick question, and I wish you a happy, healthy new year. I'm glad you're back on the roll, and certainly I caught Matt's call yesterday while we were walking in my earphones, and I wish him well. Bless his heart. I don't know what's going on with him or whatever, but he kind of, my heart aches for him. I-Man, I just wish I-Man for the new year that you can call and talk about something besides Coach Saban. It's old, buddy. Do you think Alabama, do you think Saban will get rid of Reese?
No, because he genuinely loves the guy. And thanks, Susie. He's had several conversations with him about that during Saturday's show and during media days and since then. And I don't think he would do, he's going to. I think you may see some changes elsewhere of some significance, but I don't think Reese is going anywhere unless he decides to leave on his own. We'll take a break. We've had quite a program, and I want to thank Ann. That was really a truly memorable and poignant call. We're up against the break. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We got quite an evening ahead, Friday Night Heights, Ohio State taking on LSU. You all know about the LSU team, and that's going to be very interesting and compelling, a couple hours away. So things are happening, portal and in the coaching world, and that's why we want to say hello to Dave Bartu. Haven't had Dave on in a while, but fantastic information guy. He follows everything, and Dave, thank you very, very much for joining us. You've done quite a breakdown on all the coaching moves, and we're really curious to see what's moving the needle out there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, it's what we do. I mean, and our job over the last couple of years has a lot more programs have been signing up with our coaching analytics because I really think the portal is flattening depth and coaching is becoming that more relevant in college football.
So as you break this down and analyze it, let's talk it within the SEC improvement from last year to this year. Well, next year, I should say, or whatever year it is.
the one thing, everybody, the question I get a lot is total staff. But usually what we do is we like to try to break things down in terms of units, offense versus defense and so forth. When we're looking on paper right now, because there hasn't been a lot of turnover in the SEC so far. I mean, yeah, we had A&M, LSU, for very good reason, and we can go in depth into their defensive staff that they used to have real quick anytime. But until those are complete, probably the biggest movement we've seen so far is the improvement of the Mississippi State defensive support staff. That's been really the big mover because, Alabama's lost a couple guys, haven't replaced them. Arkansas, a couple guys. So I would say right now, based on not having everything complete, I think the biggest improvement overall in support staff has been on the defensive side of the ball at Mississippi State.
Now, when you look at overall staffs, Dave, what is the difference? What does a Nick Saban mean, or how is the head coach factored into your evaluation?
Well, it's the heaviest weighted one, clearly. And well, look at our playoffs. Okay. At the beginning of the season, we did an article with CBS Sports detailing out the top 10 career head coaches, active graded head coaches at the time. The four guys in the playoffs all came from that top 10. So not only do we weigh it significantly, but you will find that wins and losses across the board are heavily dependent on the quality of the head coach and then going down from there.
So, Dave, there's still some unknowns. As we were talking today, Auburn made a change. Other schools are making changes. What are you watching very closely as we enter this insane period right now?
Well, it is. There's a couple of things that I'm watching right now that we have. Number one is, what is the NFL going to do after this weekend? Because there was a lot of movement last year out of the NFL, taking college guys. So I think that is certainly on the list. Very interested to see what LSU is going to do to retool that entire defensive staff. Now, when I was on your show at the beginning of this, before the start of the season, I said LSU had the lowest ranked defensive staff in the SEC. And they're all gone now. So I'm curious where they go with that. And they have to replace their offensive coordinator. And I think the last thing is Texas A&M. I want to really know who's calling the plays. Because by our grading, there's a big difference between Coach Bateman calling plays and Mike Elko calling plays. Mike Elko is an elite defensive coordinator. If it's Elko paired up with Colin Klein, the outlook for A&M changes for us significantly.
How interesting. So Auburn, they get rid of Montgomery today. The best play caller there is Hugh Freeze. Do you think he'll call the plays?
I would think so. We had Hugh is an excellent offensive coordinator. He's graded really high in our system. I would imagine he is going to be calling plays going forward, and our assumption would be looking for a really quality quarterback coach, because Phil not only was the co-offensive coordinator basically with Hugh, but he was also the quarterback coach. So the focus for us on Auburn is a lot of what you're alluding at. Is Freeze going to be calling the plays, which we assume he will be? And then is it going to be a veteran quarterback coach or a young one that he can develop into his idea of how he'd like a future offense run?
I mean, not to get too deep in the weeds, but the national championship game came down to poor blocking. Not that the semifinal game came down to poor blocking from Alabama. Marone, a couple of years ago, most people thought was a bust. What is your evaluation at that position at Alabama, and do you think there'll be changes?
There could be changes there. I mean, look, right now they've lost their four-star special teams coordinator and excellent linebacker coach, who's now the DC at Mississippi State. Coleman's gone, so you got to replace that. Wiggins is gone. Big loss there on the wide receiver. So I'm not sure how much coaching turnover Nick wants. And did that one play, that one position really affect the whole game? I mean, you know, I look at the body of work for Alabama, top 10 defense coming in, top 20 offense. The weakness was the offensive side. I don't know if it was necessarily offensive line coach, more so maybe a combination of just the whole offense all together, because that was the weakest unit on the field coming in. And we felt that if Alabama's going to lose the football game, it would be on the offensive side, not the defensive side.
Well, and their defense looked pretty bad down the stretch too, but that's for another day.
Oh, they held Michigan to 20, man. Nobody did that. That was a pretty good
yeah,
effort.
But the last 14 points came very late. Hey, we get more questions about one particular program. And the head coach had a great reputation coming in 2 years ago. The program seems like it's stuck. Recruiting was very painful. The schedule is impossible. I bet you can guess that I'm asking about Billy Napier and the Florida staff.
Oh, man, I get that question all the time too, Paul. Where is it going? What's going on with it? Yeah, that schedule is brutal. Absolutely brutal next year. And we have a lot of staff turnover. The Sean Spencer went to A&M. They got rid of Corey Raymond as a DB, but brought in a better graded guy at the DB position. Bateman, who was a two-star linebacker coach, I think that was a plus for Florida there. So we're still waiting on what's going to be replaced with that. And then you had Chapman come in, the defensive line coach out of Tulane. Overall, this is probably going to be the number 7, number 8 graded staff in the SEC going into the season. And the top half of the SEC coaching won about four more games than the average of the bottom half. So coaching is important, but there's still a lot of moving pieces with Florida going forward on that staff.
Before you go, I know you've isolated several coaches. We put them on the screen. You there's so many aspects that the questions will never cease. But finally, just what are you watching right now, and what are you pointing toward as we start to make the move out of this season in a couple of weeks and start getting ready for spring?
Well, what we're looking at is, you know, what the NFL is going to do. And there's a lot of gaps that need to be filled in the SEC. There's a lot more pieces moving out there than I think people realize. So I'm curious as to what all of this is going to mean relative to the new schedule, and who is really going to be in the top half and bottom half of SEC coaching coming next year. Because if it's anything like this year, we're going to be able to tell who's the winners and losers are going to be of these schedules really quick, just based on the coaching.
Well, Dave, once this craziness subsides, we'd like to get you back for an updated evaluation. You guys do such a great job. Always enjoy Dave Bartu joining us from College Football Matrix. And we are heading to the break. We have about an hour and 15 minutes remaining on our first week of 2024.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We're back, and Annette is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Annette.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
I am calling because I really like your show. I look at it all the time, and I'm calling about Ann. I thought she was just a joy. I enjoyed her, and I feel the same way about football. I watch it, and I'll be watching it when I'm old, for however long I'm here. I just wanted to compliment you on the show today, because sometimes it gets out of hand, but I really enjoyed Ann's call, and I want to say thank you for all that you do.
Thank you very much. Annette, thank you. Ann was the belated Christmas gift that we all needed. It was really the moment of the year so far. I realize the year is only 5 days old, but it was a great moment. Speaking of great moments, John is next in St. Louis.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
Okay, John.
Paul, I was going to say, this isn't John. This is Richard E.
I'm glad to hear from you.
Anyway, yeah, Paul, anyway, I don't want to rain on the parade here, but, you know, I'm just going to get to the point.
John, that is what you do best. You get right to the point.
I know, Paul. I'm going to get to the point on a Friday afternoon, Paul. And you guys need to chew on this for a while, sir.
Okay,
John, you have all these people come on your show that you have a pre-described, determinated focus of a message that you want to send, okay? And you have all, you know, essentially what happens here, Paul, you have people that tell you what you want to hear, okay? So you keep feeding it. And you have all these people talking about how great things are and how great Alabama and how great Georgia are. But anytime anybody calls up to the show and disagrees with your slant, you have issues with. And that's why I like people like Howard Cosell, I like people like Harry Carey. I like people like R.P. McMurphy, because you know what, Paul? Those people tell it like it is, and they tell the real story, and they don't have a
I can't believe you left out Edward R. Murrow.
Well, I know what you're going
to
say.
Compared to some of those guys.
Well, you're going to say, Edward, I know what you're going to say about Edward R. Murrow over and out, but I'm not going to say over and out, Paul. I'm not going
to
hang up.
You know what, John? I said to myself this morning, if John calls, I am going to be cordial. I'm going to be nice, because you gave us a gift yesterday, John, with your stupid take. And
on what? On what? Communists?
Well, you called me a communist, John.
Well, Paul, you know, you really,
the name of the 37th president of the United States wrong, and then you defended the 37th president. It was a criminal.
It's not wrong. It's not wrong. And was he ever convicted?
When the 38th president of the United States pardons the 37th, there's not much chance you're going to get convicted after that. He did lose his law license. You do remember that, don't you?
Because it was taken away by California. And why are you surprised
still,
by any?
He still lost his law license, okay?
But it was cost $37.
Hey, my question to you, John, before you go.
Yes, sir.
Will you now agree with us that Richard Nixon's middle name was not Emmett?
No, I don't, Paul, because you're not. You read WikiLeaks, okay? And you know who really was big on WikiLeaks and who was just a champion? Eric Snowden. And what's Eric Snowden all about? He's a criminal.
Eric Snowden? You're comparing me to Eric Snowden? You're claiming that I stole secrets from the United States of America? Is that what you're telling me?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.